Let's begin reading here in our chapter, Genesis chapter number 25. I want to redo those verses just a little bit. Genesis chapter number 25 and verse number 29, the Bible says, "And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear unto me this day, and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up, and he went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." We pick up our story here in Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis is the book of beginnings of everything except for God. Genesis chapter 1, we read in verse number 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." It wasn't something that just happened. There was nothing, and all of a sudden there was something. No, God spoke this world into existence. He created everything that there is. He created humans. And then we pick it up in Genesis chapter 3. We're in the garden, and we look in the garden as Eve is there, and she's tending to the garden, and the serpent comes to her. And the Bible says that the serpent beguiles her and tricks her. And then we see that she gives of the fruit of the tree to her husband, and they sin, and thus the world is plunged into sin. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, for all have sinned." And so we find that death and sin have entered into humanity in Genesis chapter number 3. And God looks on the world, and He sees everything that there is, and it displeases Him. And He sends the flood, and He destroys all the wickedness. And then we pick it up after the flood. We come to a man by the name of Abraham. The Bible says that God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, and He called him to a place that he didn't really know about, to a city whose builder and maker is God. And right here, in the very first book of the Bible, we find God establishing the principle that the Christian life is always and always shall be a life of faith. Abraham there, going out, not knowing whither he went, just following God. We pick it up even further. God says to him, after he has his son Isaac, "Go up to the mountain and sacrifice your son." And we find Abraham and Isaac going to Mount Moriah, and he's going to sacrifice his son. By the way, I believe that the reason that Isaac went so easily and did exactly as his father said, the reason he did that was because Abraham didn't just talk about God, but Abraham lived about God. In his home and in his daily walk, he lived for God, and he just didn't talk about it, but he lived for Him. And so Isaac followed his dad up to that mountain, and we see that God provided a lamb. By the way, God always provides. He always provides for His children. And we pick up the story here right in our text now. Isaac has these two boys, these twins, Jacob and Esau. And we find here that Jacob and Esau are two different people. They're twins, and Esau comes out first, but Jacob comes out right after him, and he's holding on to his heel. And we look here in our story, and we see that Jacob is a man who likes to stay at home, and he likes to cook and do things like that. And Esau was a man who was a mighty man. He was a hunter. He was like a Paul Bunyan type of person, always out in the woods. And we find here that as he's out, he's hunting, and he's doing what he does best. He comes back, and he's tired. The Bible says that he's faint. And he comes to his brother and he says, "I'm tired and I'm faint. And would you make me some of that beef stew that you make?" But we find out here something bad. In verse number 31, the Bible says, "And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright." Sell me your birthright. Now keep in mind, a birthright wasn't just preferential treatment for the person who was first born. The birthright was a livelihood for the person who earned it. That was supposed to be Esau's livelihood. That was the way he was going to live his life. He didn't just get to get the front seat in the truck, if you will, but he also got a double portion of all his dad's estate when his dad passed on. It was his inheritance. Look, it was how he was going to live his life. Esau gives up his birthright here. Not only was it a double portion of his father's estate, but he would get the greater blessing. And Esau was supposed to get the blessing from his father, Isaac. But we see a horrible tragedy here. The Bible says in verse 34, "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and he rose up and he went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." Esau gave away his inheritance. He gave away the present that was supposed to be his. How many have ever done a white elephant party or something like that? I was just at a white elephant thing the other day with some of the staff
at our school, and I end up with this little bread cutout. It's Elmo's face, and somebody just gave it to me because it's white elephant. They get a gift from somebody, and they don't want to have it, so they give it away. Somebody gave me this little thing that you stamp on bread, and it makes Elmo's little face. Andy, you said you wanted it after the service, right? That's right. I'll make sure you get that. All right, man. But white elephant, somebody got a gift. They got something, and they gave it away. Well, I submit to you tonight that Esau had something, a gift, a present, an inheritance, that he just gave it away. Sadly, today, there are many Christians that God has given them something wonderful. God has given them a Christian family to lead. God has given them a marriage that they're supposed to work in. God has given them children that they're supposed to rear for the Lord. Perhaps there's somebody in your family that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, and you've been praying for them. Hey, God has given you that to keep on going forward, to keep on doing. It's your inheritance. Perhaps there's a coworker that you've been witnessing to, and that just doesn't seem like they're going to accept the Lord. It's your inheritance. But sadly, there's many people that are call themselves Christians that are giving up their inheritance. They're giving up the thing that God has given them to do. We have too many Christians that are like Alka-Seltzer. You put it in your mouth, it works for a little bit, it fizzes up, and then it's gone. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. We have too many Christians that are like that today. They come and they fizzle, and then they're done. And like I said, they leave a bad taste in your mouth. They give up what God has given them. That they sell out. And for the next few moments, I just want to preach on that subject. Keep your present. Keep your present. Let's pray today. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for this church and, Lord, what it means to me and how you've changed my life here. Thank you for Pastor Blaylock and his leadership here. And Lord, I pray as we enter into the message now, Lord, that you'd take me as your vessel, Lord, please, I pray. That, Lord, you'd empty me of myself and that you'd cleanse me of sin. Lord, fill me with thy spirit that I might speak with thus saith the Lord. Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that he is born to die and raise again for our sins. I pray that you'd just bless now as we enter into the preaching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your present.
What happened in Esau's life that made him give up his inheritance? Look, he had something that was wonderful. He had something that was great. He had something that was his livelihood. This is the way he was going to live his life. What happened, Esau? Well, first of all, I want you to consider this. Esau, he gave it up. First of all, it is a lesson of the temporal. A lesson of the temporal. Look, please, at verse number 29. The Bible says this, "And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I'm faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." Verse number 31, "And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.'" A lesson of the temporal. How many of you ever been tired in your entire life? Yes? We've all been tired one time or another in our life. Esau comes to this situation. He's been in the field all day long, and he's been doing work. He's been working hard. And the Bible says that he comes to Jacob, and he was faint. He was tired. He wanted to give up. He thought that he was going to die. I love coming into the house after work. When I was a kid, I would come in. I'd be playing hard and playing with my friends. I'd come into my house, and I'd open the refrigerator. And my mom says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking to get something to eat." Well, she always says, "You ought to take a picture, because it's not going to change, because I always stand in front of the refrigerator with my mouth wide open, wondering what I'm going to eat." My mom says, "I spend so much time in front of the refrigerator that I'm going to get frostbite." And, you know, Esau was so hungry. He was so faint. He came in and he looked at his brother Jacob, and he says, "I'm tired and I'm faint." I want you to know it was a temporary problem that he had. A lot of Christians give up God's inheritance for their life because they're tired. Look, people put their passion over what is principle. Not only do they put passion over principle, but they put pleasure over permanence. They put their problem over what God has given them. They put their problems over their possession. People get tired every once in a while. Hey, maybe you're here tonight and you've been praying for that lost family member for so long and it just doesn't seem like they're going to get saved. Keep on going. Maybe you're here tonight and you're raising a Christian child, or you're trying to, and it's a hard job and you're working at it, and maybe you're getting tired. Hey, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Keep on going forward. I know sometimes people get faint and they're weary in well-doing, but keep on going. Don't give up your birthright. This is what God has given you to do. Too many people just lay it aside like it's nothing. They put their problems over what God has given them, their possessions. They put their passion over their principle. Keep on going. People get tired, but you've just got to make up your mind by God's help that you're going to keep on going. I heard of a football player by the name of Walter Payton. Walter Payton was one of the best running backs in the game. He amassed a career of over 16,000 yards in his career. That's almost 10 miles or a little bit over 10 miles. He would run the football. And in his career, he ran the football over 10 miles. But you know what? I found something interesting about Walter Payton. Walter Payton, he may have run the football over 10 miles, but he only averaged 4.4 yards a carry. That's just a little bit. So if I do my math correctly, which I'm not a mathematician, that means he fell down. He got tackled over 8,000 times. But you know what? Walter Payton got up. He dusted himself off. And he got on the line for the next play. I'm sure he got tired, but he never quit. Look, whatever God has given you to do, that inheritance that comes from God, whatever it is He's given you to do, keep on going. Keep on pushing. Keep on pressing. I've been reading recently about our special forces, our Navy SEALs in particular. And I read the account of the most decorated Navy SEAL in American history. He has more sniper kills than any other soldier in our history. And of course, a Navy SEAL, they have to go through something which is called BUDS. BUDS is called Basic Underwater Demolition SEALs. It is one of the, if not the most, it is the hardest training that any of our soldiers have to go through. If I remember correctly, it is a six-month program that they go through where they test these soldiers so much. They put them through physical harm. They put them through mental harm. They try to get these people to quit. And that's their goal. The instructors, they want these people to quit. As a matter of fact, the people that graduate is only about 20% from the BUDS. Out of maybe 150 people, just a handful of those people actually graduate. And they went to this soldier who was the most decorated soldier in the Navy SEALs, and they said to him, they said, when you felt like quitting, what did you do? And the soldier didn't hesitate to answer the question. He said to those people, when I felt like quitting, I just remembered why I started in the first place. Why did you start in the first place? Hey, maybe there was a time in your life where you said that, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever it is that you want me to do. I'm going to do it. Lord, I surrender all. I'm giving myself to live for you. I'm giving myself to do what it is you want. Don't give up that inheritance. Don't give up the present. Keep on going. Look, there was a time in your life where you said, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom or the enemy, but hey, I'm in the Lord's army. And keep on going. God gives people abilities. God gives people talents, but you know the thing that the Lord really blesses is faithfulness. Faithfulness, keep at it. There's no place to stop. There's no place to quit. I admonish you tonight, don't give up your inheritance. Don't give away your birthright for something that is temporal. Esau looked at the pottage. Perhaps he was walking and he was tired and he smelled that food. It was kind of like Cracker Barrel. You know, you walk in, it's like eating at a garage sale. Cracker Barrel is. And you go in and you smell the food coming in from the dining room as you're looking at all the random things that they have. Maybe Esau walked up to Jacob and he was like, oh, that smells so good. Some people give up because they're tired. But some people put the pleasure in front of permanence. They give up what God has given them just so they can have a little bit of pleasure. They throw away everything that God has given them just so they can look at some internet website. Just so they can click on something or watch something or do something that they're not supposed to do. Esau here, it's a lesson of the temporal. Esau, you're not always going to be tired. Esau, you're not always going to be faint. You just got to keep on going. Never quit. Never surrender. With God's help, you can keep on going. It's a lesson of temporal. But secondly, I want you to notice it is a lesson of trickery. Verse number 29 again. The Bible says, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Jacob was trying to trick him. It's a lesson of trickery. You know, the devil is always trying to trick us, isn't he? He's like a lion. He is roaring about, seeking whom he may devour. Look, if you're here tonight and you're saved, the devil can't take your salvation away, but he'll sure try to ruin your effectiveness for Christ. And so he's fallen for the trickery here. Jacob is trying to trick his brother Esau. The devil is trying to trick you. The devil's a liar. He wants to trick you. I remember I got to spend 2 summers down in Cooper City, Florida, working with Pastor Odom interning there. I remember the first summer I was down there, we had Vacation Bible School. I love Vacation Bible School. It gives me an excuse to act like a child. I may grow old, but I'll never grow up. Amen. And so VBS came along. We got all the kids in there, and it was great. I got to act dumb and do all those types of things, trying to get the kids to come on in and everything. But I remember that the pastor there was giving a lesson about how the devil tries to trick people and how he shows you one thing, but he's going to give you another thing. I remember the illustration that he had so very vividly because he used me in it. And being in Florida, he pulled out a nice orange. Where did I get that from? He pulled out a nice, juicy orange, and he said, "How many of you would like this orange?" My hand shot up real quick. "I would love to have that orange. Of course, I eat all the time. My mouth is like a revolving door. Just keep giving me food, all right?" And so I said, "I'd like to have that." And the pastor called me up there, and he said, "This is a nice, juicy, bright orange, and you're going to have it." And I said, "Oh, I'm so excited about that." And he said, "But I took the liberty of doing something. You like this orange?" I said, "Yes, sir, I like it." But he said, "I took the liberty of doing something for you." He said, "I took this and I already peeled it for you. And I want you to have it. Just because it takes so much time and it's such a mess to peel the orange, I already peeled this orange for you." And I looked at it, I said, "Well, this is great." And so he said, "Why don't you take a big, huge bite out of this nice peeled orange?" And I snatched the orange away from him. And I sunk my teeth into that orange that was already peeled. And I took a huge bite out of that thing, only to find out it was not an orange, it was a lemon. Made the face. That's the way the devil works. That's the way we find it here in this story. He's trying to trick. He's trying to deceive. The devil has one job in his life in this time, and he's trying to trick you. He'll show you something good, but he'll give you something that you didn't think it was going to be. Look, the devil tries to trick people. Look, there's people that when I was a child here, when I was coming through the bus ministry, when I was a teenager here, there's people that used to sit in these pews that they've been tricked by the devil and they're no longer here anymore. They've been tricked. They've been fooled by what the devil has to offer. They've been fooled by what this world has to offer. They've cast aside their inheritance. They've given up their present. And they don't want what God has for them because they believe the lie of the devil. He considered a lie. The devil tricked him. Jacob tricked him. But consider this. It was something crazy that he was looking at. It says here in verse number 31, "And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright." Hold on a second, Esau. Before you just throw it away, what is that birthright again? It's your livelihood. This is everything that you're supposed to get. This is your inheritance. This is how you're going to live your life. It's a double portion of your father's estate. And it's the blessing when your father is going to die. This is your livelihood, Esau. Why would you want to give that up? Sadly, like I've said, Christian people give up what God's given them for just little pottage. They give it up for something so fickle, something that don't really last. Why would you want to give up God's inheritance? Look, if you've tasted of the bread of life, why would you want to go to anything the world has to offer? Look, whatever God has given you, it is better than anything this world has to offer. Keep your birthright. Don't give it up. Don't give it away for some beef stew or something like that. Don't give it up for something that's not going to last, because God, what He has, it's going to last. So if you're here today and you're influencing young people, keep on influencing young people. Because that's an inheritance God has given you. If you're here today and you're praying for that lost family member, keep on praying, because God's giving you that inheritance. Look, if you're here today and you're raising a child and you want to raise him for the Lord, keep on going forward and don't let the devil trick you because you're tired or because you want to do something else. Don't let all that get in the way. Keep on going. It is a lesson of the temporal. It is a lesson, secondly, of the trick. The devil is a liar. He wants to trick you. But lastly, we see that there was a lesson of the temporal, a lesson of trickery, but thirdly, a lesson of tragedy. Look, please, at verse number 32. The Bible says, "And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob." Verse 34 says this, "Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink. And he rose up, and he went his way." Here's the tragedy. "Thus Esau despised his birthright." What a tragedy. God had given him something great. He had something great coming to him, but he threw it all away. And I admonish you tonight, don't throw away what God has given you. Don't give it up for something that's not going to last. Don't give it up for pleasure. Don't give it up because you've got problems.
But keep on going. I want to show you a verse here. If you turn to Hebrews chapter number 12, the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12, we're going to look at some things here.
It was temporal. He was tricked. And we look at this tragedy, Hebrews chapter number 12. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall the grace of God, fail the grace of God, lest any root of busyness springing up to trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17, for you know how that afterward, when he have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know what I see here? I see regret. Someone that for just a morsel of meat gave up everything that he had coming to him. And then when he realized what had happened, he sought, the Bible says, repentance. He wanted to change his mind, but he couldn't find that place to do it. Because once he gave it up, he could not get it back. There's some things in life that God gives you that once you give up, you cannot get back. Teenagers, I think about young people here. God has given you purity. Once you give that up, you cannot get it back. And certainly the Bible says in 1 John verse chapter 1 and verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look, God forgives sins, but sometimes there is circumstances that cannot be undone. Though God forgives people, there's still circumstances that cannot be done. I read a story one time of a young boy who kept having temper tantrums. He kept flying off the handle and going off the rocker. He was going and having all these temper tantrums. And finally, his father said, every time that you have a temper tantrum, I want you to go to the fence and I want you to nail a nail into that fence. And so, just like the father said, every time this little boy had a temper tantrum, he would go up to that fence and he would nail a nail into the fence. And as years went by, the young boy started to grow up and the temper tantrums became less and less and less. And finally, the father said, okay, why don't you go and start taking the nails out of the fence? And so the boy eagerly went up to the fence with the hammer and he started taking those nails out. And the father taught him this lesson. He said, though the nails are gone, aren't they? The boy said, yes, they are. And the father said, but look, there's still holes where the nails were once. Sometimes when we sin, when we give up our inheritance, just like Esau sought a place of repentance, he changed his mind, he wanted it back, but he could not get it back. It was too late. I'm looking into the faces of people here today. Perhaps you're thinking about quitting. You're tired. Perhaps you're just thinking about doing your own thing. Look, you can live in sin for a little bit, and the Bible says it's pleasurable for a little season, but be careful, once you give it up, there's just some things you cannot get back. Though your sins may be forgiven, the circumstances, you can choose the sin, but you cannot choose circumstances for that sin. Esau gave up his birthright. This is the tragedy. I wonder if Esau would have said no, who would we be talking about tonight? We would be talking about Esau tonight, and he kept his birthright. Just think about the one choice that Esau made to give everything up for just a morsel of bread. It would have changed everything. And the same thing goes tonight. There's people here. Perhaps you're thinking about giving in, putting in for retirement from being a Christian, not living the Christian life. Let me just admonish you to keep your birthright tonight. Keep on going. Keep your present that God has given you. Keep on going. Keep your birthright. Father, thank you so much for this good day. Thank you for your love for us. Father, I pray that something that was said here today would be a blessing and a help. Perhaps, Lord, there's somebody here tonight, God, that is thinking about quitting. Lord, they're thinking about throwing away all that you've given them for just a little morsel of bread. Father, I pray that you'd help them, that you would just help them to keep going and to find their strength in you. Lord, I thank you for those who have influenced me here at this place, and I pray that you'd help them to keep on going as well. Lord, help us to keep all that you've given us.
for we know you have your purpose in our life. And Lord, I thank you again for your goodness. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night they accept you. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for Jesus, and it's in His name we pray.